Amen. Amen. Morning. Thank you, Donna. Good morning. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Hey, look around. Give somebody a wave that says, hey, I'm glad that you're here today. And if you are part of our online audience, again, we invite you to say hello to Tim. Our own Dr. John is not with us today, but Tim will be monitoring there. If you have any questions, anything that you might need answered, Tim can be sure to answer your questions or find those answers for you. But we are so glad that you are here today to worship our Lord in spirit and in truth. May we look to the Lord in a word of prayer as we begin our time together today. Father, as we come to you, we're grateful and thankful for this opportunity that you have given us today to be in your house. Lord, the special occasion in which we come together. Father, we come together to celebrate the resurrection, your resurrection. Lord, we pray that you would help us today to truly meet you in this place and to have our focus upon you and all that was accomplished on Calvary's cross. For Lord, it is an eternal decision that we make each and every day of our lives. Lord, if we trust you, we can have eternal life with you. And if we don't, then Lord, the punishment in that place called hell awaits us. Your word says that we are either for you or against you. And today, Lord, as believers, we come together to lift you up high and celebrate the resurrection, Lord, that the key that unlocks eternal life for each and every one of us. So, Lord, we ask that you would bless our time. Help us with our focus today that we might truly have it upon you. And, Lord, may each and everything that is said and done magnify you as we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, as we've said before, this is our Easter season. This is the time when we support the Annie Armstrong Easter offering. This is the offering that supports our Southern Baptist missionaries in North America, which includes Canada, United States, and Mexico, and through the time, as always, we try to introduce you to some of those missionaries that we actually have out on the field and give you that opportunity to see the work that they are doing and to see the work that you are supporting. Once again, every bit of this offering goes to them to keep them out on the field. That's where they get their support from. And today is no different than any other day. Now, I want to say this before I step down. We collect that offering. We will, if you're a couple of days or a week late, that's fine. But we usually collect it through Easter, and it depends on when Easter is. Of course, Easter's today. This is the last of the month. But don't hesitate. As the Lord leads you, you can drop that in the offering plate today, and it says, list on it, Annie Armstrong, or you can put Easter offering. But that way we will know where that will go. We will make sure it gets channeled in the right and proper places. So you can just take one of those envelopes in front of you and you can put Annie Armstrong on it. You can put Easter offering, whatever you want to put on that. We'll make sure that it gets where it's going. So today we want to introduce you to yet another one of our North American missionaries by way of technology.
When I tell people I'm a missionary, I get all kinds of questions.
People ask, what kind of missionary are you?
Or they want to know exactly what it is a missionary does.
Or a lot of times you'll hear people say, a missionary here? You mean that's a thing?
Well, there's 281 million lost people in the U.S. and Canada.
So yeah, it's a thing.
But there's one question no one ever asked me, and I wish they would.
No one ever asked where is the finish line.
That's the question I want to hear. What does Mission Accomplished look like?
You can watch videos about North American missionaries like me. You can read stories about us. You can pray for us.
But don't get so caught up in the methods and minutiae of what we do that you miss the main thing.
Everything you see and hear and read about us is really just a means to an end.
We start churches to make Jesus known.
We meet needs to make Jesus known.
We move to unfamiliar places, we meet unreached people, and we attempt unrealistic things just to make Jesus known.
There's nothing more important than that.
Nada.
Nothing at all.
Jesus said, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation.
And so that's what our finish line looks like.
It looks like obedience, same as your finish line.
God speak. You give, we go.
Everything starts with your gift, so the Annie Armstrong is the offering.
Those gifts enable us to go places where the gospel has never been.
This is where we cross our finish line.
This is where, together, we make Jesus known.
Please stand with me as we sing hymn number 533, He Lives.
I see His hand, the mercy.
the redeeming work Jesus accomplished on the cross that day defeated the forces of darkness for all time. He endured death so that you and I would not have to. Jesus paid the ultimate price for sins he did not commit. Come and be amazed with those who first saw the stone rolled away. He is risen. He is alive. He has conquered death so that we may live eternally. And he invites seekers to come, not to grieve, but instead celebrate.
He lives.
Thank you. we celebrate what I would consider one of the absolute greatest days ever, but particularly when it comes down to the Christian calendar. There will be believers that will gather all over the world today to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it is one of the most important calendar dates that you and I can have. And people have said to me before, they said, well, why do you say that? And they said, well, why is that different than Christmas? I said, well, both of those go hand in hand together. I said, because Christmas, we celebrate the birth of Christ, and that's the time that God became incarnate here on earth. So without the birth, there would be no death or resurrection. But yet by the same token, with no resurrection, there would be there wouldn't be anything different about Jesus. I've said there are so many thousands, literally thousands of religions across the world today. The only thing that Christ has that they don't have is an empty tomb. That is what completed salvation for you and I. That is what conquers sin, death, and hell. That is what the Old Testament prophets and those from the days of old looked forward to as they headed in to the time when Jesus would show up, when he would live that 33 some sinless years here on earth. He would go to Calvary's cross, be crucified, buried in a borrowed tomb, and on the third day, he would resurrect, conquering sin, death, and hell. And that is exactly what we come together today to celebrate. So there are so many things. I always think about what the Holy Week, and that's what we have just kind of come through, is what people call Holy Week. And I think of the sequence of events that happened and the things that took place coming into that Holy Week. Now, some of you have been places and even here before where we celebrated Maundy Thursday, you know, the time when we would get together, we would take communion together. We would recognize that meeting in the upper room, and then there are folks who have the Good Friday services, and then the time of what things must have been like, the way people were distraught after Christ was crucified. You got to remember that these were folks who followed Jesus, and they were a little confused. It's ironic that even though Jesus taught them, and I think this is critical for us today, even though Jesus taught them what was going to happen, even though he told them what was going to take place, it still took them by surprise. It still affected them when it came down to how they felt about things. Now, as we read through God's word, the interesting part about it was, I don't know that there were his disciples that were sitting there together saying, well, you know what? I remember what he said. On the third day, he's going to arise. He's going to resurrect. I don't remember any of them sitting there in the room saying that. In fact, they were probably trying to figure out what it was they were going to do with the rest of their lives. They probably thought, well, I guess I'm going to go back to fishing, or I guess I'm going to go back to doctoring, or whatever else they may have been doing. Not a single one of them sat there with hopes that the resurrection was going to take place. And Jesus had talked to them about that. He had preached that. He had gone over it and over it and over it. But you see, the folks, the resurrection of Christ had been promised to his disciples. That's what he had been preaching to them. Both his death and his resurrection were clearly explained in Matthew chapter 20, verses 18 and 19. Now, neither his death nor his resurrection should have taken them by surprise. Now, I said this last week as we gathered together. We can sit back and try to insert ourselves into the trial. We can try to insert ourselves into all the events that took place during the Holy Week. And many of us might sit back and say, well, you know, I think I would have said something about that. I think I would have stood up for Jesus. I think I would have done, you know what? You don't know what you would have done until you were in that situation. Look at Peter. I mean, I still kind of shake my head at Peter. Peter was the one who drew the sword and cut off the soldier's ear that was going to take Jesus into custody, right? Y'all remember that? This is the same Peter who denied him three times before the morning would come on the day of his trial in the face of being challenged by a little girl, denied Jesus Christ. Aren't we fickle? Have you seen how we can ebb and flow? But his death nor his resurrection should have been anything that should have taken his disciples by surprise. You know, now here's what always amazes me when I look at this particular situation. And it's that the enemies of Christ remembered, but his disciples forgot. Think about that for a moment. The enemies of Christ remembered his promises, but his followers had forgotten them. See, at the cross, his disciples forsook him and fled. I like what Matthew Henry's commentary says on this development. Matthew Henry says, hate is keener sighted than love oftentimes. So the priest and the Pharisees pleaded for Pilate to make a watch. Now, I want us to look at passages that come out of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27, and I'm going to look at a couple of different places along the way, Lord willing, and I get to it in time. But if you've got your Bible, turn with me over to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27. And since it's got a lot of verses, kind of head over towards the end of it. Actually, we're going to begin reading at verse 62. So Matthew 27, beginning with verse 62. And it reads like this. It says, on the next day, which followed the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered together to Pilate, saying, sir, we remember while he was still alive how that deceiver said, after 3 days I will rise. Therefore, command that the tomb be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say to the people, he has risen from the dead. So the last deception will be worse than the first. And Pilate said to them, you have a guard, go your way. Make it as secure as you know how. So they went and made the tomb secure, sealing the stone and setting the guard. Let's pray. Father, you're good to us. We pray that your word would pierce our hearts today. Lord, that your Holy Spirit would speak to us. And that, Father, you would use this, your messenger, to simply bring forth your words to your people today. As Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, it's interesting when we look at the enemies of Christ there, particularly in these passages, in these verses. I think about the body of Jesus for just a moment. You know, I've read a lot of the articles and I've read facts of what took place during the crucifixions back in the Roman days. And there have actually been photographic depictions of what Christ's body may have looked like due to the suffering that that he took upon himself going to Calvary's cross. And essentially, it was a body that would be unrecognizable. It talked about how the lashes that he would receive from the whip and the reeds and everything else essentially exposed the bones, his rib bones from the back. And I can just imagine what a bloody mess that was. His face, the crown of thorns that was jammed down on his head. Nothing that any of us would sit back and voluntarily go through. It would be something that we would essentially fight back. Now, as I thought about that, I thought to myself, Jesus did have the power. Remember how he was mocked? Remember what the people and the soldiers said to him? They said, if you are who you say you are, then save yourself. Remember what the thief on the cross said? He said, well, if you are who you say you are, then save yourself and us too. And yet Jesus didn't do it. Have you ever been dared to do something? Or have you ever had somebody doubt you along the way and they're like, oh, you can't do that? And you're like, yeah, I can do that. And they're like, oh, no, you can't. And you're like, yeah, I can. And then they just keep on and on and on. I know what I usually do. What I usually do is prove it to them. Where are my people? How many of y'all do that? You're going to prove it to them. You don't think I can do this? Watch my smoke. Now, could you imagine what it must have been like to have been Christ, knowing that he could have called 10,000 angels, knowing that he could have come down there, and all of the yammer, yammer, yammer that was going on, and the way they mocked him and said that he couldn't do what he said he could do. I'd have been like, uh-huh, watch this. But you know what the problem with that is? The problem is, if Christ would have done that, then you and I wouldn't have an opportunity for salvation today. Ask yourself, could you have withstood what Jesus withstood, knowing he could have just vaporized them all right there? I probably would have. I'm sorry, if your salvation was up to me, you'd be on your way to hell today. I'd have been like, gone. No, I ain't doing that for you.
Watch this. And see, by the way, what is it that causes that? The big P word, pride. Pride causes us to do that. And yet Jesus, as he hung on that cross, did it for you and he did it for me. And yet the enemies of Christ were more keen-sighted in Jesus' teaching than his believers were. Nicodemus and wealthy Joseph were the ones who asked for the body of Christ. And Jesus was laid in a borrowed tomb. You've heard that 1,000 times. Yeah, I've said it before. I've even said it here. I said, you know what? I said, if you go to Muhammad's grave, you're going to find Muhammad. If you go to John Smith's grave, you're going to find John Smith. If you go to Jesus' grave, you're going to find Joseph of Arimathea. Everybody sits back and thought that the tomb was empty because Jesus had come out of it. But all he did, Joseph of Arimathea loaned it to Jesus because all he needed it for was 3 days. So I like that when people say, well, what are you going to find if you go to Jesus' tomb? Joseph of Arimathea. Because he just loaned it to him. That's all he did. But Nicodemus and Joseph went and they asked for that breathless body. Why? Because they remembered the promise that after 3 days, I will rise again. And this promise had been made repeatedly by Christ. They knew that he had promised a bodily resurrection and not just a spiritual resurrection. You know, when we look at different things throughout the Word of God today and as we go about our Christian walk, there are a couple of things that we see and a couple of things that we notice. Oftentimes we talk about something that happens bodily and something that happens spiritually. That's the term that we use. And there were some people who sat back and said, well, I think Jesus was talking about a spiritual resurrection. No. Listen, you don't see a spirit come out of the grave. You see a body come out of the grave. That is what they saw with Jesus. When Thomas touched the hands of Jesus, they weren't spiritual hands. They were literal hands. When he touched those nail-scarred hands and he touched that place on his side where the spear wound was, when he touched the feet of our Savior, it was real. He was a real person. It wasn't a simple spiritual resurrection. It was a true bodily resurrection. And they knew that he had promised a bodily resurrection. You know what part of the problem with that is? They had never seen that before. Not in that circumstance. Now, you got to remember, Jesus did raise Lazarus. I know some of y'all are talking about that. There were times that they saw Jesus do some things like this. But they had never seen a person come back from the dead. And you know what? I believe that if we were sitting in here today and we heard that, what would be your thought? Somebody said, so-and-so, has died and they've been clinically dead for 3 days, but they're going to come back to life. What would you honestly say today? Yeah, I won't hold my breath. You know why? Because things like that just don't happen. Folks, you got to realize this was a miracle from God. And I want to say something today. God is still in the miracle business. I believe that with all my heart. I've watched God do incredible things. I've watched, and even a circumstance that's going on in our midst right now with Tyler and Bonnie. Tyler's a youth pastor at Awaken. Bonnie, his wife, expecting their first child. There's all kinds of complications, but we believe that prayer can change things. I believe that in praying for miracles. And when I pray for one, I start looking for it. Not because I'm some great prayer, but because I believe in the power of God. God, I know you can. Will you? And you see, the enemies of Christ remembered what he said. They remembered that he said he would come back. Think about it for a minute. Who would ask for a guard and a sealed tomb to prevent a spiritual resurrection? I mean, y'all have watched TV. Ghosts walk through doors, don't they? Why? Yeah, if they feared a spiritual resurrection, now some of y'all are smart because you're sitting out there saying, well, the text went ahead and told us why they wanted that. The text said because they were afraid that his disciples would come and steal his body away and then say that he resurrected.
You know what that really told me? That really spoke to me about what their hearts and what their minds were all about, the deceptiveness of who they were. You know, because really, the reason they thought about that is because that's something they would have done. And that's something they said, well, you know what, if I wanted to make this happen, I'll just go steal his body and tell everybody that he resurrected. We'll just go bury him somewhere else, and then everybody will think he's there. You know what, there's a lot of problems with that, but number one was Jesus was seen out and about walking around after the resurrection. But yet they remembered what he said. Who would try to seal a spirit in a cave? It don't make sense. And strangely, think about his accusers. Strangely, they called Jesus a deceiver, yet they feared that he might really rise again. And yet they called him a deceiver. Yep, the enemies of Christ were correct about his promise. And the enemies of Christ were also concerned about his promise. We see that in verse 64 of our text. It said they wanted the sepulcher sealed and guarded until the third day. Why only 3 days? Because Jesus said he was going to resurrect, you know, it on the third day. So they knew that it was a small time frame, because then they could say, well, it didn't happen in either days 1 through 3, so therefore it didn't happen. And they felt like they could move on. You see, they also feared that his disciples might hatch up that plot to make it appear that he had risen. You know, as I thought about this, I thought about how many times people today who are they're church people, but they're not spiritual people. I just want to put that out there, and I'm going to tell you why. There's a lot of people who I call posers today. People who know how to walk the walk and people who know how to talk the talk, but they're lost as the day is long. They think that spirituality, they think that a relationship with Christ is something that you do. See, last time I checked, the Word says that there's not anything you can do. You're saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Last time I checked, I've found that there are people who think that even if their heart is genuine, and even though their heart's right, they feel like they need to do something to pay God back. You can't pay God back. There's not enough money, and there's not enough of you, and there's not enough deeds that you can do to ever pay him back for what he did for you. And here's the great part. He doesn't ask for that. He wants you. I like what the safety guy for the Baptist men starts off when he talks at the trainings. The first thing he does, he takes a mirror, and he said, I want to tell you what's most important thing. And he's sitting there, and he holds that mirror out, and he lets you see that. Listen, you were so important that Jesus Christ went to Calvary's cross for you. I don't know how many people I talk to that say, you know what, I'm not worth anything. And I sit back and say, oh, on the contrary, yes, you are. Yet most people say, well, I'm nothing. I say, yes, you are. Don't say that, because Jesus went to Calvary's cross for you. And it has been said many, many times, if you would have been the only person on the face of this planet, Jesus still would have gone to Calvary. He still would have taken all the lashes across his back and the crown of thorns just for you. Even if you were the only person, he still would have hung on a cross. He still would have gone to a barred tomb. He still would have resurrected on the third day just for you. Don't ever tell me you're not important. Don't ever doubt your self-worth, because somebody died and resurrected for you. That is how important that you are. Listen, don't let Satan in. Don't let him tell you that bunch of mess. Think about the enemies of Christ that were concerned about his promises. You know, they trembled at the impact on the public if word got out that Jesus was alive. See, everyone had thought of the death and wanted it overcome by life. We've all thought about that before. We've all wanted to see life win out over death, haven't we? Words of a resurrection would be the most powerful news that these people had ever received. And it is the most powerful news that you and I can ever receive. It is the most powerful news in the whole wide world. Would you agree with me? How many of y'all would agree that the resurrection is the most powerful news ever because it is the key to everything? Okay? Listen, that's why we have to share that. Listen, we don't sit on it. We will talk about everything, and we will talk to total strangers based on a logo on our shirt. Why won't we tell people about Jesus? The greatest news ever. You see, the enemies of Christ were concerned about his promise. And what was his promise? That on the third day, he would rise again. And this is exactly what happened when Christ arose. The resurrection became the message of all of the New Testament and all of New Testament preaching. And as a result, the Word of God turned this world upside down for Christ. That's why you and I are here today, some 2,000 years later. How many of y'all have known anything that's lasted 2,000 years? Yeah, not a whole lot, but the gospel message has because God promised that it would. Finally, the enemies of Christ were conquered by his promise. Pilate granted that guard, and he had those soldiers seal that tomb. There was a heavy rope that would be placed across the stone. The seal of the Roman Empire was placed on it. You didn't violate that seal. If you did, the penalty for that was death. And Pilate's soldiers were there, and even as they stood guard, they could not stop the resurrection of our Savior. The Roman soldiers did not sleep at their post, and it was so ironic that they were scared to death in regard to the angel's appearance. And I still kind of think it's funny what that scene must have looked like, because, you know, one of the gospel passages talks about the angel sitting on the stone. You know, it's kind of like, and here are these Roman soldiers that are just, you know, pretty much out like light when Mary shows up. And could you imagine what that must have been like? All of a sudden you see all this thing, and, you know, I love what the angel said. You know what the angel said? The angel said to her, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is risen. He is risen indeed." That's our Savior. Listen, don't go looking for him in a cemetery because he ain't there. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Don't go looking for the living among the dead. You see, for the soldiers sleeping on watch would have been the last time they would have ever slept, because they would have been put to death. You know, there was a story that was told as well to discredit the resurrection itself. If you read, you know, some of the passages in the Gospels, and what happened was, you know, after Jesus had resurrected, after the guards told what happened, the Pharisees and the priests were still hatching up plans. Oh, okay, here's what we're going to do. You know, we're going to go tell the governing officials that this is what happened, that you all fell asleep at your post, and that his disciples came and stole the body away. Y'all have heard that before, hadn't you? That was what they said. Remember what that was what they feared to start with. That and the actual resurrection. So they said, this is the plan we're going to hatch up. I mean, if I'd have been one of them soldiers, I'd have been going, wait a minute, hold on. To sleep on duty, you want me to admit that I was asleep on duty? The penalty for that is death. But remember what they said, we'll talk to the officials, we'll make sure they spare your life. And that's exactly what they did. They went there and they ran rampant with that story that Jesus' disciples came and stole his body away. But yet they couldn't explain how he was up walking around and talking to people, could they? They couldn't explain what was taking place is exactly how Jesus said that it was going to take place. Christ arose. The promise was fulfilled. You see, that broken seal at that tomb guarantees the resurrection. The resurrection guarantees the deity of Christ, and his promise guarantees the salvation of all
who will trust him. Not just one, not just a few, not just a select few members, but all who trust him. I like what Matthew chapter 28, one chapter a little bit deeper, beginning with verse 11. It says, "Now while they were going, behold, some of the guard came into the city and reported to the chief priest all the things that had happened. And when they had assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers, saying, 'Tell them his disciples came at night and stole him away while we slept.'" So not only did they break their own rules and laws, not they should have been put to death. Now they're getting paid to tell this story and get to live. Verse 14, "And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will appease him and make you secure." In other words, we're going to make sure that he don't kill you. "So they took the money and did as they were instructed. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day." In the Bible, ironic, it already tells you what's going to happen. It already says, well, here's what they're going to do. And guess what? That's exactly what they did. But you know, we can't just end there. Those are just some of the facts that we're leading up to and to that resurrection. But one chapter over in Matthew 28, beginning with verse 1, we read this. "And now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and indeed he is going before you unto Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you.' So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word." I've often wondered what that scene must have looked like as well. I've said before, you sit there and see that angel. These guards were scared to death. It says that they were so fearful they were as dead. I don't know if you've ever been, you know the term scared to death? That's just what this is talking about. Have you ever been that afraid that you became as a dead man? Listen, if you don't know Jesus, you better be afraid. You better be very afraid. And just the angel, just the appearance of the angel, these guys freaked out, man. They were just like dead men. And but I love what the angel said to ladies. "Fear not. I'm not here to mess with you. I just came down to see these cats and roll this stone away." And they're sitting over there. "Come on, hey, listen, I know why you're here. You are looking for Jesus. You have come down to do the job of an undertaker. You've got the spices, you've got the wrath. Listen, you ain't got to worry about that." I'm paraphrasing, of course, that's not the King James. "You're not going to be doing that. See, the Jesus that you came to see, your Jesus is not here. He has risen." And did you notice what they said? "He has risen just as he said he would." Isn't that cool? Listen, how many times in our lives today as believers when we follow him, can we sit back and say, "Lord, I am claiming your promises because you're going to do just like you said you were going to do." That doesn't mean God's going to do things your way. It means that you need to be read up and prayed up and understanding his will in heaven as it should be done here on earth. He said, "Come on, ladies. You're looking for Jesus. He's not here. He's gone. He's resurrected just like he said he would." And then I love this one. "Come here. Take a look. I want you to see." I mean, I've often wondered what that must have been like. I mean, there were two soldiers laying there in fear, gripped in fear as dead men. I mean, you know, you think Mary was probably going. I don't want to get near these guys. I can make a picture. They ain't going to hurt you, man. They're out like a light. Come on in here and take a look. Come on here and check it out. Why? Because the Jesus you seek is risen. He is risen indeed, just as he said. Now I'm going to share this with you. That's what we celebrate today. We can celebrate because there's something else Jesus said that you can take to the bank. The other thing that he said that you can take to the bank is this: whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Listen, it's not just something that you do. Being spiritual, listen, if you're coming to church because you got new clothes, if you're coming to church because, you know, that's what you were always taught to do, then you're coming for the wrong reason. Why did you come here today? Did you come here to truly celebrate Jesus? Did you come here to hear from his word? Did you come here that he might be, that you might be usable as an instrument in his hands? Or did you just show up? Well, because it's Easter, and we come, you know, we come, you know, a couple of times a year. We come for the birth and we come for the resurrection. Listen, Jesus wants to be a part of your life 24/7. 24/7. Do we mess up? Yes, we do. We do. We mess up all the time. But thanks be to God that through his shed blood. You know what? It's really amazing me. I'm really starting to feel the pinch, as the old boy would say, in this society. When people say, well, I tell you what, you know, this Easter, we're not going to talk about blood. We're not going to talk about crucifixion. And we're not going to talk about resurrection because that offends people. Remember what I told y'all here recently? I said there's something really cool about getting older that you don't really care what other people think. Well, here's something really, really cool about being a pastor. I know what this says, and you cannot take the blood out of this and have salvation. You cannot take the crucifixion out of this and have salvation. You cannot take the resurrection out of this and have salvation. It is time that some people became offended into the kingdom of heaven. I don't need to preach another sermon. I need to wind this one down. But we need to have in our society today some godly men with some backbone. With some backbone. Who are not afraid to stand on the gospel message of the death, the burial, and the resurrection, because that is our message. Tell you, some people would look at what Jesus went through for them. You would have a different perspective of it, first of all. But secondly, I'm tired of getting to the point where people are like offended by what you say. You know what? The gospel is offensive. It is offensive. It's always been offensive. That's why they came after Jesus. That's why they're going to come after you. Are you going to be like Peter? Are you going to turn and run? A little girl. I bet she was cute too. Says, I think I saw you with them. not me. And the little girl's like, you know how are you? Sometimes little girls can be that way. No, that was you. You're one of them. Hey, he's one of them. Shh. You were with him. And then remember what it was. Remember what Peter did? He cursed and said, I never knew him. Folks, you're going to fail. We're going to fail along the way. But thanks be to God that his forgiveness through repentance also brings about restoration. Listen, let's try not to fail on purpose. Let's try to do the best that we can.
Let's try to stand up, because here's one thing that I will make you the promise of. I've seen it, I've experienced it in my life, that you and Jesus make a majority. I've read about the battles of the Old Testament. Remember where some of the strangest and crazy things. I mean, look at Jericho. We all know that. We played and sang the songs when we were little. Remember that one? They walked around the walls of Jericho. They blew the trumpets and the walls fell down. Well, that makes all the sense in the world, doesn't it? It does from a spiritual perspective. It does not from an earthly perspective. You know why? Because God played Legos. He just took the walls right down. And if God is for you, who can be against you? I say this, I'd rather exit this world on God's side than stay in this world, be prosperous without Him. Because there's a day coming. So today I want to ask this question. Do you know my Jesus? Brad, you guys come on up as we prepare for our invitation time. Do you know Jesus? I didn't ask if you had a casual acquaintance with Him. What I'm asking is, has there been that time in your life when you have realized through the conviction of the Holy Spirit that you are a sinner, that you are on your way to hell unless something changes that destination? And the only thing that can change that destination is the shed blood of Jesus Christ and His resurrection? Has there been that moment that when you've realized that, you've said, Lord, I don't want to spend eternity in hell. Believe it or not, in my younger days, I was accused of scaring people into heaven. I said, I don't care how you get there. I said, you ought to be scared of hell. If being scared of hell is good enough to get you to heaven, I don't have a problem with that. Do you? You ought to be scared of hell. But see, it's beyond that. Because the Lord doesn't just want to save you from eternal damnation in hell. He wants a relationship with you. He wants to cultivate that relationship with you. Most of you in here know what I'm talking about when there are people that you say, when somebody brings up a name and you'll say, oh yeah, I know them. Then there's also been people that have been brought up and you're like, well, you know what? I know them, but just as an acquaintance. How many of y'all have ever heard that? In other words, you know their name, you'll wave at them in the store, you know absolutely nothing about them. See, I fear that there are a lot of people who are acquainted with Jesus, but there's a lot of people who don't know Him. I love to get to know people and I love to get to know their stories. A lot of y'all know that. If you've been late because your spouse or somebody was waiting on you and they were at the church, all you had to say was, I was with the preacher. And they're like, oh, I get it. And y'all have used that. That's perfectly okay. But I love your story. I love to hear your story. I love to hear people's, because you know what? I've heard stories in here that I sit there and go, wow. And if you take the time to get to know somebody's story, you're taking the time to get to know them. You're taking the time to love them. You're taking the time to be a part of their life. And what a cool, cool thing that is. And Jesus doesn't just want to be your acquaintance. He wants to be your Savior. He wants to be your friend. He wants to be the one who sticks closer than even a brother. You ever had somebody in your life that was always around? I did when I was younger and when I was growing up. Always around. Didn't always want to be around, but it was always around. Turned out to be one of the best friends I ever had. So we got to know each other. You'll laugh together. You'll cry together. You'll bear one another's burdens along the way. But we have gotten into this society today where we keep everybody pushed away because we feel so vulnerable. If there's ever anybody you can trust, it's Jesus. If there's ever anybody that's going to be on your side, it's Jesus. If there's ever anybody who's going to tell you the truth, it's Jesus. And He's still going to love you, warts and all. That's Jesus. Do you know Him? I can't answer that question for you. If I could, everybody in this place would be saved. Have you trusted Him? Have you said, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. Save my soul. I give my life under Your control. And Lord, I want to find out about You. How many of y'all ever got love letters when you were growing up? Three of you. The rest of y'all are liars, okay? How many of y'all ever got a love letter or a single one? Okay, get them up high. Come on. It's interactive time. You see that? Did you take that letter when you got it and decide that you would read it about a month later? No. You were excited, weren't you? You didn't want your friends to know, though. You probably went and hid. You might have gone to the bathroom or stuck your face in a locker, but you couldn't wait to read that love letter, right? Agreed? The Lord has written you a love letter, and it's called His Word. Will you be as excited to read that as the love letter you got when you were in high school? I promise you that when you do, oh, it's a long letter. I like those long letters. How about y'all? Tell you how much He loves you, and He tells you, not only does He tell you how much He loves you, He tells you all about Him. It's a way to get to know Him. And when you do, I will make you the promise, your life will change forever. If you've not trusted Jesus, I want you to stop whatever you're doing right now. And then y'all are sitting there going, well, I'm sitting here listening to you. Not everybody. Some of you may be driving down the road. You may be whatever, watching a broadcast. But whatever you're doing, just stop what you're doing. If the Lord is knocking at your heart's door, y'all have seen the stained glass windows and the pictures and everything else of Jesus. He's not going to force His way into your life. You have to voluntarily open that door. Would you do that? And some of you would say, well, yeah, but I don't know how. Listen, prayer is a communication tool with Father. It's as easy as saying, Lord, look, today, here's some of the greatest prayer. Today, Lord, I get it. He understands that. Lord, I get it. I realize I'm a sinner. Forgive my sin. Save my soul. Help me, Lord, to be a child that will be pleasing to You. Sounds easy, doesn't it? Some people sit back and go, well, that's just too easy. Well, Jesus made it so a child can understand it. Yeah, that's not the hard part. The hard part is walking with Him in a way that's pleasing to Him. That's difficult. It's hard to walk a Christian walk, amen? I'm not going to tell you any story. It's tough. But yet, when you have the Holy Spirit, that makes it a whole lot easier. And when you have Christian friends, it makes it a whole lot easier when you're like-minded. Mama always said, you better watch out for the crowd you're with. That's still true. You want to be more of a spiritual person, hang out with more spiritual people. That don't make you perfect. It's not going to rub off on you, but it's accountability. You know what I'm saying? We always do better when we know somebody's watching. How many times have you been in a place and said, well, I probably would have done this, but I'm not going to do that because so-and-so's here. There you go. That's what I'm talking about. Have you trusted Jesus? Listen, if you have, please let us know. We want to celebrate with you. Man, what a great day. Easter, when we celebrate the resurrection, when we think about those who are celebrating with the resurrected one today, those loved ones that you and I have known that have gone on to be with the Lord, today is a great day for them too. They get to be at the feet of the one who gave up and picked His life up for them. Maybe you're here today and you have just been a bonehead. That's a spiritual term, bonehead. You have been playing church, you've been playing Christian. I'm not saying that you're not, but you've just gotten on the hamster wheel of church. See, folks, church is not about a building, it's about a people. Church is about following the Lord. Church is about discipleship. It's about doing life together. And I can bring people up here right now and tell you that discipleship is fun, it's a blessing, and if you're doing it right, it's something that you can't wait to get to. If you do it right. Or you can sit back and go, this is boring classes. I don't like boring classes. I hated boring classes. And if it's boring, you're not doing it right. Man, I had Ben Stein for professors. Okay, today. I mean, I still can't get that. I mean, how would you like for me to come up here today for you guys and say, he is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Aren't we all filled with the joy of the Lord? I can see y'all just chomping at the bit right now going, wow, lunch is coming. It's time to get excited about what's worth getting excited about. Will you surrender to him today like the prodigal? Get up out of the hog pen and go back to the Father. He's going to greet you with open arms. He's going to kill the fatted calf. He's going to put a robe and a ring on your finger. Will you come home? We just stop with all the mess. Stop being disappointed. Listen, people are going to disappoint you. God never will. I've never met a person that didn't disappoint me. But I've also never been disappointed by God. I've been uptight with him when I thought God should have done it my way. Like I knew better. Don't y'all laugh. Y'all the same way. You do the same thing. God, I'm mad at you. Why? Well, you didn't do it my way. Well, God's got reasons why he does things the way he does. Sometimes you just got to hear no. You know the thing, I always said I hated that. You know, growing up, I grew up in a disciplinarian home. And I can still remember, Roy, don't do that. Well, why? Because I said so. I hated that answer. But that was good enough, wasn't it? I didn't like it, but it was law. You know, sometimes you say, well, Lord, why? He says, because I said so. And you find out later on, maybe even not on this side of glory, maybe on the other side of glory, you'll find out why. So what has the Lord brought you to today? What decision is it? Today we celebrate his resurrection. I'd love to have been a fly on the wall on that one. When Jesus comes out of the tomb, like, that was good. Let's get on with what's going on. And the soldiers hanging out there, scared to death like dead. The angel going, hey, Jesus, come on out. I got that door for you. Come on out. Mary, hey, good to see you girls. The guys on the ground, the soldiers, better stay down there. They weren't going to get up anyway. What does God led you to do today in celebrating? How's he brought you closer to him through his resurrection? His resurrection is the key to it all. Listen, whatever it is that God has placed on your heart, if it's salvation, we want to celebrate with you. If you need the old altar up here, we still believe in a good old altar call. Whatever it may be, I'm asking you to do business with God today that when you go out of those doors, there's nothing left on your heart, no business that needs to be left done with him, that you go out here with peace in your heart and joy in your heart as you celebrate his resurrection. Will you deal with it right now as we stand together? As we sing our invitation hymn, number 280, Jesus, Keep Me Near the Cross.
Thank you.
continue to seek the Lord in prayer with your head bowed, with your eye closed. Listen, man, you already know what you need to do. You already know what you need to make right. Folks, listen, if you've got it all taken care of, you pray for those that are around you right now during this critical time in their life. Today, we truly want to celebrate His resurrection because of all that He has done. What do you need to do to be right with Him, to be in the right place with Him in your heart as you go forward? As you continue to seek Him, I'm going to ask our ushers make their way down as we prepare to receive the Lord's tithe and our offering for Him. Thank you so much for your love and your grace, and Lord, the way that you provide each and every need that we have. And Lord, for many of us, you supply most of our wants. You've been good to us. Now, Father, as we come to this point where we worship you by giving back the tithe and the offering, which you require and which you've led us to give, I pray that we truly would be found faithful in doing so. And then, Lord, I pray that as a church that we truly would be good stewards of what is yours, that it might be used to reach people with the kingdom in a very, very special way. For Lord, you own the cattle of a thousand hills. You don't need it from us, but Lord, you're using that to seek where our heart truly is. So Lord, may our heart be in the right place right now, as we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Couple things in line so that you'll know what's going on, and then we'll get you on out of here. Birthdays this week, you got Roger Howerton will be celebrating a birthday this coming Wednesday, and then on Thursday, Pearl Willard will have a birthday, and then Friday, Brian Gardner. So if you see those folks, or even if you don't see them, reach out to them. Let them know how much you love them and care about them. That's coming up this week. Just to let you know, there won't be any evening activities here today due to Easter. You'll spend that time essentially spending time with family and friends. And then on just to let you know, Monday, the office is closed. Tomorrow, that Easter Monday, is the office holiday, so we won't be open tomorrow. Then on Wednesday, there will still be the 10 a.m. Men's Breakfast Fellowship over at the Olympic in Colfax. No agenda, just show up. Guys like to eat and shoot the breeze. That's what it's about, so come on over. Then also, every other Tuesday, there's a Bible study at Roger and Don Ree Howerton's from 12 o'clock to 1 o'clock. This is the off week, so not this week, but if you're interested in going and being a part of that, you need more information, Pastor David or Paul Johansson,
can let you know more about that. They're studying the book of Daniel, so you won't want to miss out on that. But you got to make sure you can fit in the house. That's why you want to see those one of those two, because we don't want to over-inundate Roger and Don Ree's place, have y'all hanging out the windows. So talk to Paul or Pastor David. Also, a lot of things that are going on around the church throughout the day, throughout the week. So please, if you're having a meeting or anything, please let us know in the office so that we can get you on the church calendar. There's a lot of stuff that's taking place. We don't want anything to get mixed up there. But finally, folks, I just want to say this. What a great, great day to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. And I say this, He is risen. He is risen indeed. May we celebrate that today. Pastor David, if you would, let us know anything I've forgotten, and then see us off in a word of prayer.
I think you covered it all, except for the prayer. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the privilege we've had of being in your house on this beautiful resurrection day. Lord, we know you love us, and we love you. We thank you for meeting with us today. And Father, I pray that as we spend the rest of this day, that everything we do will be done in a way to honor and glorify you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.